you're just being.
You know, that is the first time that I have ever heard a worship leader try to make up a prayer because he couldn't breathe and he couldn't walk to the seat. Hey, real quick, I just want to make it known. I want to say something real quick. Because oftentimes, let me say this first. We had dinner at the church today. I'm trying to fix it up. Also, I did tell you we're having a meeting tomorrow night, but I'm telling you there will be a cakewalk involved. So, we need to get, being prepared for that next Saturday. So be prepared to buy or make or whatever you want to do with cake, cookies, whatever it is you want to fix. So, and the last thing I'll talk about real quick before we get started is I understand we all know it. This is our Pastor Appreciation Month, and I don't look at it necessarily as Pastor Appreciation Month. I look at it more as Ministry Appreciation Month. And, I think what they're going now, for the most part, but I don't think, I want to make sure that y'all let these guys, look at Paul and Tyler and Isaiah, let them guys know we appreciate you. We really do. We spent 2.5 years before Miss Carolyn came in to play piano. She got sick. God bless us with Tyler. God's allowed us to have Isaiah, a little bit here to come in and help. We've been blessed. We've been blessed with that. We're blessed to have a good bunch of kids soon.
Yes.
And folks, I'm here to tell you, you've heard me say it before, I will put our budgets up here against any bunch in LaFleur County anytime they want. I will put them against them because I'm that confident. I like what they do. So, I'm asking them to come out on the 14th and sing at the Brotherhood meeting on the 14th because I appreciate what they do so much. Whether I preach or whether somebody else does, this bunch is going to be up here playing and singing on the 14th before the Brotherhood meeting. So just because they say, Pastor, appreciate, I want you to let these guys know, they minister us every Sunday through song. That is a very important part of what we do. Very important part. So, if you don't believe it, folks, I can preach for an hour and a half if you don't want to say it. And I can do that if I need to. It's not a big deal. Anyway, hey, I have to change things up a little bit this week. We're in our fourth series, our fourth part of our five-week series, talking about the importance of faith. And then, sometimes when you go to the doctor or when you go to get a loan, whatever, they will tell you, give me your full name, last name first. Makes no sense. Why am I going to put my last name first? Well, basically, that's what we're doing today. I'm taking my last series part, which was week 5, and I'm preaching it week 4, and week 4 we'll be preaching week 5. So we're flip-flopping the two a little bit, and you're going to understand why here in just a little bit as we get to this, and we're going to look at the things we need to look at. So take your Bibles real quick and turn to the book of Hebrews. Now, just so you know, if you've got your little bulletin, you can see there might be one or two more verses that we have to cross over to. But we're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. The Bible says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your leadership and your guidance. Lord, we just ask you right now as we move through the remainder of this service, Lord, that you would just give us the words we need to hear. You would just lead, guide, and direct us, Lord, and just allow us to grow through your word today. In Jesus' name, I ask these things today. Amen. So as we're going through our faith, we're talking about it. Folks, I'm here to tell you, one thing you're going to find out about the title of today is the importance of a practicing faith. And I will tell you this when it comes to faith. I don't care if you're sitting here today and you're one of these three that was up here today that's going through that battle with cancer, or you're one of the three that stood up for whatever we had that has conquered cancer. You have to practice faith in the good days as well as the bad days. Practicing faith has to be done every single day. Doesn't matter how bad it is. I will promise you right now, there's not a person sitting here that can sit down and tell me that at some point or sometime this weekend, it had something happen that had to come in that you just really didn't appreciate. But guess what? We still have to keep our faith in God, because the trials lead to triumphs. Tests lead to testimonies. So keeping our faith in the bad times is just as important as the good times. But so many times in the good times, we forget to keep our faith because we're on top of the world and we think we've done something when the only reason we're there is because God allowed us to be there. So, and we started our series, as you will go back and we'll talk real quick about a pleasing faith. A pleasing faith talks about salvation, serenity. It talks about satisfaction and service. The Bible tells us that if we follow a pleasing faith, God will look upon us to be righteous. That's what it tells us. We go back to the next week, we talked about a perfect faith. And you know, when you hear that, if you go back and remember, what is a perfect faith? A perfect faith is a pardoning faith. It is a purifying faith. It's one that penetrates and it preserves faith. That's what a perfect faith is. Then we got to where we talked last week about the personal faith. Personal faith is when, kind of when you look at the faith side, it starts changing a little bit. For that very reason, that word personal. Now it becomes something that is personal, what we're doing. We'll finish up and we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about that one. We'll talk about today, next week. It's more on a personal level. When you go back and you look at the first two we talked about, that is in general a pleasing faith. That, now, they're all personal, but you have a pardoning faith. Now we're getting down to the words personal. And the personal faith is you have to recognize, you have to respond, and it's a revealing. It's the one we don't like. It is a rebuking faith. It's personal. And then you have your requesting, receiving, and rejoicing faith. I thought about that as we sung the song there, and we talked about it, I'll fly away, and it talks about, you know, the land where joy shall never end. That is part of personal faith. Like I just told you, it doesn't matter if you're in good times, if you're having bad times. Folks, I'm telling you right now, we should have joy. Our joy should never end. You've heard me say it before. If you're here today and you're a child of God, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what's happening going on, I'm not telling you you're going to be happy. But I'm telling you, you've got to have joy in your life because God is still in control. That should always bring joy to our life. That should always bring us to the front when we do. So today we're going to talk about practicing faith. And folks, I'm here to tell you, first thing you understand about practicing something, about doing something, it boils down to importance. What you deem as important in your life is what you will do. You're going to do that. If you get up today and you think it's important to be in church on Sunday morning, you will be in church on Sunday morning. If you get up today and you think it's important to go mow the yard, you're going to go mow the yard and not worry about church. What you place your importance on is what is going to be important in your life. That's what's going to be important, what happens. So we tend to make the important thing, and folks, I'm here to tell you, no matter what it is, we try to make that a priority. Now, certain things can affect our problems. If you go out there, of course, we've had this problem here lately, but if they go out there and they're calling for, you know, 4 or 5 straight days of rain, you make it a priority to get the yard mowed so you can track it before it gets any bigger. That's a priority. And you do whatever you can to make it happen. You know, that's kind of what we do with stuff, folks. And when we talk about a professed faith, you talk about a practicing or a professed faith, that should be the number one priority every breath you take in your life. It should be our number one priority. But guess what happens? We put too much emphasis on everything but faith. You may put too much emphasis on work. You may put too much emphasis, you don't like what I'm fixing to say, but you get over it. You may put too much emphasis in your family. You may put too much emphasis on trying to be the center of attention in church. Maybe you want to be a social bug. You put too much emphasis on trying to be a social. When I talk about that, when I talk about a social bug, it's someone that wants to please everybody. Maybe you want to put too much emphasis on self. Those are all just some of the things you put too much emphasis on. When you put emphasis on those things, folks, on anything, guess what? You're taking emphasis away from the practicing faith. When you look at it there, in Hebrews 10:23, it tells us that we are to hold fast to professing our faith. We're not to let it go. It's not to happen, folks. That is the most important part of your walk in the Christian walk, is your profession of faith. Why is this important? Well, I'm going to tell you something. What's it very important is, you heard me say it while going in now, next week is your high attendance Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got 7 days, 6 days, whatever you want to call it, between now and then, to let your practicing faith, your professed faith, see if you can invite somebody to church. See if you can get somebody to church. That's what you've got. If a professed faith is important in your life, you're going to enjoy whether you're in good times or bad times. You're going to have it because you understand one thing. God is still in control. If you're in the valley, God is in control. If you're on the mountain, no matter where you go and walk with Christ, God is in control. I can tell you this much about your faith. And folks, churches are full of this today. And if you're one of them, talk to God, don't talk to me. But churches are full of this. People come into church, they come down, they get saved. You've heard me talk about how people, Christians, wear their pants out because they sit on their hands, rubbing their hands on the back of their legs all the time. Because they don't want to do that. But folks, I'm here to tell you, when you become a child of God, your profession of faith was not meant to put up on a shelf and collect dust. And a lot of Christians today, they're putting their faith up on the shelf and saying, okay, I'll let that person do it. Or I'll let the next person do it. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to have an actively professing our faith. And we look at Matthew 17:20. We're talking about, we practice faith by, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. The faith of the grain of a mustard seed. I don't know how many of you have never seen one, but it's one of the smallest particles you're ever going to see. It's one of the smallest things that you'll ever see, folks. We practice faith by quoting that scripture. We have to have a value in our salvation. Your salvation has to have a value if you want to practice faith. It tells you in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God. You know, you've all heard that. You heard me say it. Know Jesus. Know Jesus. K-N-O-W, do you know Jesus? Or is it N-O, know Jesus? Well, I'm here to tell you right now, folks, if you have no faith, you have no grace. And I'm talking about the N-O kind, not the K-N-O. If you have no faith, you will have no gift that God has in store. And the last thing I want to tell you, if you don't have faith, you don't have God. The Bible tells us right there that that's how we are saved by. We are saved by grace through faith. And the value that you have in your salvation is that value has to come in the value of an individual named Jesus. That's the value of your salvation. It's got nothing to do with what you've done. It's got nothing to do with that. I will promise you, there has never been a person walk through that door or any door that comes in and says, I'm going to get saved on my own. What does the Bible say? Jesus said, no one goes to the Father except through me. So you don't have the ability to do it. You have to understand it's a valued salvation. And then you go to Hebrews 11:6 and it says, but without faith, here it is. It is impossible. Impossible to please Him. So we not only have when we have a practice faith, we have to have that value. But folks, you've got to have the value of not just of salvation, but you get the value of satisfaction if you've got faith. Because the Bible says, and without faith, I cannot please God. But if I'm a faithful person, and I'm a faithful Christian, and I'm a faithful servant of God, then I get to please God. And folks, that is important when you can take satisfaction in knowing I've done my part. How many times in life, you know, I sit back and thought about this as I was going through it. And I'm telling you right now, I've sat back and I was blessed. I was able to do everything for my dad that I could until my dad died. Do the best I could to help him. I look back, I had zero regrets. I was the one who walked in the house when I found Mom dead. I am so thankful today that I'm the one who went in and found her. I didn't have to get that call from somebody else. I take value in that. I take value in the loved ones that I've been back. I don't look back and regret anything that I made. Why do I say that? I say that to say this, because when you look back, do you have any regrets because of the satisfaction that you have for God? Do you have that? Can you look back and say, I have no regrets to what I've done for God? That's a value satisfaction that if we have faith, we can please God. We can do it. Without faith, you cannot please Him. So if you're struggling with that, you got to look at the value of your satisfaction. The next thing we talk about And we're talking about faith is valuable because of what? Because it satisfies Jesus. Faith satisfies Jesus. What does it tell us? That's all we become a Christian. We are saved by grace through faith. That's satisfaction. But you know, there's one thing that we tend to forget. One thing we tend to forget about what faith really does. What does it satisfy? Faith satisfies me, the sinner. Because that's how I become a child of God. It's through faith. So I become satisfied whenever I do that. Say, not only does it satisfy Jesus because he died on the cross so we could have it, but it satisfies me because now guess what? I know I don't have to spend my eternity in hell. I get to go to heaven and be with Jesus because I have faith. So I'm satisfied as a sinner when I have it. It not only does he give us salvation and satisfaction, but it also helps us with our strength. And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Folks, I'm here to tell you, when you look at it, we were here today and we're talking about cancer awareness. We're talking about what goes on. Folks, I'm here to tell you now, you can have value, strength, and knowing this. One of the strengths that we have is God's got healing power to cure anything you've got a problem with. God can fix it. You know, God can show up and God can show out when no one else can. God can take care of it. What else can God do? I tell you, what else God can do? God can not only does he heal, but God can also find ways through other people, whatever, to help you in time of need. Maybe that's somebody to talk to. Maybe that's somebody just to pat you on the back. Maybe it's that little phone call, you know, or whatever. Maybe all of a sudden somebody shows up out of the blue when you're struggling and you need help and they can show up out of the blue. God finds ways to help you. Other thing is the strength is knowing that we have what I told you. Hope. We have hope. Hope, I'll tell you right now. I don't care if you're here today and you're a Christian. I don't care. You know, and I don't like the word hope. I'm just telling you right now, as a child of God, I don't like the word hope. I've told you that. Because folks, I don't have to hope for heaven. I know, as a child of God, I know where I've got a home at. I know what's in front of me. I just gotta hope hope I do what God wants me to do until I get there. That's the hope I have. You know, doing God's will. But I know where I'm going. And the last thing we talk simply is this. That we have strength. It's the one thing that it's our heart. If our heart's right with God, we've got all the strength we need. We can accomplish it every day. What does it tell us? Go back to what I told you a while ago. Nothing is impossible if we have the faith and the grace of relationship. Yet without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I have strength. If I have faith, my heart's going to be the strength of what I do. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, "Above all, take," listen, "the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." The shield of Satan. Folks, I will promise you this. You are safe in God's hands. Now, when I say you're safe in God's hands, I'm not telling you that you're not going to face tribulation. I'm not telling you you're not going to face problems. I'm not telling you you're not going to face situations. But I'm telling you you're safe in God's hands. I go back and think about it. You know the old commercial with Allstate. You're in good hands with Allstate. Allstate's hands ain't big enough to cover what God can cover. They ain't big enough for what God can cover. You're in good hands if God's on your side. You are safe. Folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm telling you, if you're here today and you're the child of God, the safest place to be is in God's hands. Because if God says it is your time to come home, you go immediately into the presence of God, and this is the safest place. Yeah, it hurts. But folks, I'm here today. If I'm a Christian, I go to be with God. Where better safe place is there to be? I'm in good hands with God. Value safety. It's just real simple. I'm safe because what's this? I can quench the fire of God's wicked. What's that tell me? I'm safe from the world. Well, tell me I'm safe from the world. The world is around me, everything around me. Let me tell you something. If I'm a child of God, this world out here, what's the worst they can do to me? They can take my breath away from me. Because they can't send me. This world can't send me to hell. This world can't send me to somewhere I don't want to be. So the world, I'm safe from the world. Because if I'm a child of God and something happens to me, I'm going to be with Jesus. So I'm safe from what they do out there. I should have a desire to want those people to know what I know. So we talked about We practice faith by knowing the value of salvation, satisfaction, strength, and safety. We're going to shift gears a little bit now. We're going to talk about we have to recognize that vision. Folks, you can't accomplish anything in life if you don't have a vision. You've got to have a vision. Everybody here that's of adulthood, you've all had a vision of where you wanted to be when you was at this time in life. And you had a vision where you want to be at this time in life. And you had a vision you want to be. Even as a young kid, you had a vision of what I want to do when I grow up. You have to have a vision to know what you're going after. You have to have a vision to know which direction you're going. Hebrews 12:2 says this: look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Folks, you've got to recognize where that vision is at. And yes, first thing you have to do is bow to that vision. You've got to bow to keep the vision. You have to bow down when things are bad, and you got to pray. When things are good, you got to make it a point to bow down, and you got to pray. You've got to pray to God, but it don't stop there. Because when things are good and when things are bad, not only do I bow down and I pray to God, but I need to bow down and praise God for what it is. I'm sitting here today, and of course, you know, we're talking about cancer awareness, and you know, we look back, and I've got those in here that have survived cancer, and they stand up and say, man, I can praise God for what I'm done. But folks, I'm here to tell you, if you're battling cancer today, you can praise God for what you're going through, because you are a walking testimony that God is fixing to do a miracle. I can praise God that I'm going to be part of something bigger than what this cancer is. We got to bow down and praise God as we do it in prayer. So many times we come up and we think that we have to pray to God, and we forget about it. God likes to be praised, too. God likes to hear about that, too. You know what? As people go up, we don't want to hear about all the bad things every once in a while. We like to hear about something good. That's all we have to do. Think about it. Believing, that's a key part. Ones of you that are here today, that are struggling right now, ones of you that have conquered cancer, the key to it is attitude. You've got to believe, and believing will keep the vision going. You have to understand that no matter how bad things is, no matter how discouraged we get, we have to believe God is in control. We have to understand we're going to go through disappointments. Things are going to happen. Folks, I'm here to tell you, everybody here, I look at you square enough, I will disappoint every one of you at some point or sometime. I will let you down at some point or sometime. But we have to continue to go through it, because we have to believe that God's got a bigger plan than what one person does. It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be bigger than that. And you know, we're just one person. But you're going to let people are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to do that kind of stuff. God does not let you down or disappoint. So we have to continually believe if we want our vision of faith to keep going. You know, how many times have you seen this happen? We have it backwards. I told you before we go, you know, first name last. Or last name first. However you want to call it. That's what you do. Well, that's kind of what we do with this believing thing. That's kind of what we do. How many people have no problem if I come up here, Steve, I'm going to pick on me a little bit, I hope you don't mind. But if I come up there and Steve says, man, I'm going to believe if God heals my cancer. That's the way we are. We want to see results. Then we want to see this, and we'll believe after all this other stuff gets done first. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you've got to believe first, and God will take care of the rest after we believe. Go back and read the stories. When you go back, we talked last week about the blind beggar. We go back and look at the blind beggar last week. What happened? The blind beggar had to believe what was coming down. He knew there was noise coming. He couldn't see, but he knew there was somebody. He believed that was Jesus. He believed his problems could be taken care of. He had to believe. Go back and look at Saul. Saul got knocked off the big horse and couldn't see on the road to Damascus. But he had to believe before he would. He had to believe what God was saying before his scales would fall off his eyes. You got to believe before anything else can happen. We must keep believing, and our eyes have got to stay focused on Jesus, not the world. Then we have to, not only do we have to bow and believe, but folks, we also have to do this. You got to be ready to battle.
You're going to have to battle, because the more you do for God, the more you get tight with God, the more the devil's coming in. The more things are going to happen. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus when we're battling. We got to keep our eyes focused. Go back and look at Peter. What did he do? When his eyes focused on Jesus, he walked on water just like Jesus could. But when he took his eyes off Jesus, he sunk like a rock. We do the same thing. If we got our eyes on Jesus, we can battle what's going on. We can battle if we keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to keep our faith and our eyes stay on Jesus. But we continually do this while our eyes are on Jesus. Guess what? We got to keep fighting too. We can't just sit back and say, God, I'm not. When David had his eyes squarely on Jesus when he went up against Goliath. And he was squarely on Jesus. He was battling. He was battling with his, he wasn't battling. He had the faith. What did he do? I don't care how big he is. I know how big my God is. He knew what his faith was. And he kept fighting. And he kept his eyes on Jesus when he went up. He didn't see Goliath. He saw Jesus mightier than Goliath. You see what happened. So we have to keep the faith. We've got to keep fighting when we go into battle. And we get down to the next part. We're talking about building. You have to build a vision. You know, you can have a vision to build a house. You can have this vision. But guess what? If you never lay a foundation, if you never lay a bridge, if you never move dirt, the house ain't going to get built. I got a vision. It's there. I mean, I can see it in my head. Huh. Where's it at? Where's your vision? Where are you building? You know, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We got to keep building, folks. How do we build our program? What do we do? What are we building? That's the question. What are we building? What are you building right now? What, do you have a vision on your faith? What does your faith building look like? What's your faith going on? Folks, I'm here to tell you right now what we're in the process of building. I don't care if it's me up here. I don't care if it's you sitting there. We're here to build one thing, and that's called the kingdom of God. That's called the church. We're here to build the church. That's what we're here to build. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about building the church with people. I'm talking about bringing people in when we talk about it. That's what we're doing, folks. I'm here to tell you right now, if we keep our eyes as a family that Paul talks about, as a church family, and we put our eyes on Jesus, we will build a church together. It'll be done together. That's the only way you build a church, is as a collective unit. How do you do it? You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And this is where I'm talking about getting into next. We talked about this week. How do we look to build a church? How do you look to build a church? I would venture to say at some point or sometime, maybe not here, but somewhere, somebody invited you to church. Now you may not have got invited to this church. But you might have went somewhere else and God led you to this church. But before you went to church, somebody invited you. Very few people ever walk off that street out there just to go to church. Oh, well, there's a church. Let's walk in. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to build a church, first thing you need to invite people. You get invited to come to church. You got to get them here. We got to look at Jesus. And guess what happens if I'm looking at Jesus and I'm inviting people? Jesus Christ will bring people. He'll bring them. With that being said, maybe you need to bring somebody. Maybe you need to go out there and get somebody. Maybe that one person, like she said, excuse me, well, I just don't have a way to get there. Well, let me come meet you. Let me come pick you up. Let me come bring you. Hey, if you don't want to, that's fine. Let's let us know. We've got a church man. I promise you, we'll go get them. But maybe we need to bring people. Go pick them up. You know, matter of fact, one of my study guides simply said, you need to not just invite, you need to beg people to come to church, and you need to go pick them up and bring them to church. That was what one of the study guides that I was looking at said. I didn't quite like it. I didn't quite like it. But folks, we're building a kingdom. We're building a church, but we're building a kingdom. And I'm not saying that we're building a kingdom that, and you know, don't want you thinking that I think that I want to have the biggest, the best, the greatest. I'm not telling you this. But I'm simply saying we're building a kingdom because God's kingdom is what we're building. The church is part of God's kingdom. We're building God's kingdom. We're not building, I mean, yes, we don't want our church to look good. Yes, we want our church to have people here, but we want them here for the right reasons, to build the kingdom of God, not because we want to sit down and say, hey, look, we've got the biggest church. Folks, that don't matter. You know, you can have 200 people in church. And if only 10% of that 200 people are saved, when the rapture occurs, that's not good. So we want to build a kingdom for the right reasons. Because we want to build a kingdom because we're doing God's will. We're doing God's will. That's building something. That's keeping your eyes on what we're building, folks. We want to tell others about Jesus Christ. We want to invite others to church. We want to bring others to church. Why? Not because we want to have the biggest church, because we care about their life and don't want them to go to hell. That's why you bring and invite people to church. You don't want them going to hell. You want them going to heaven. Hell is real. That's coming real soon, in case you didn't know. That'll be coming soon. So, but we want these people to join us in heaven. We want them to join us in heaven. And then we get down to this other that we're talking about. And this is where you don't realize. Everybody has these things in life. And you have people in life at some point or sometime, maybe you do now, that you call your mentor. Or maybe you call your inspiration. Or maybe you, I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to, your hero type deal. We all have these people that we look up to. That we look up to. And folks, we have to understand, as a child of God, each and every one of you are an inspiration. You're someone's looking up to you. You may not know it. You may not understand it, but they're looking up to you. And what happens, you've heard me talk about it before. People struggle in volumes. And what do you tell them? You tell them, go back to basics. Go back to basics. Learn the basics. Go back. I mean, when I was playing ball and I was struggling hitting the ball, I would go up and spend an hour just doing nothing but bunting the ball so I could start tracking the ball to the bat. And what would happen is once it takes off, and then it's like it goes through everybody. It just radiates through everybody. That's what happens when you start sharing your faith. You start telling people about Jesus. It kind of radiates through people. Because all of a sudden, you start gaining that confidence. You start getting that back. And guess what? When you start doing it, this person over here starts doing it, and that person over there, because it just radiates virtues through the family that you're called a church. And it takes off and goes. And that's what we're talking about. It says in Romans 15:13, the Bible says, now, the God of hope fill you. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Through, here it is, the power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing else. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we get to radiate faith. You can't do it. But the Holy Ghost that's inside of you, as a child of God, says, hey, I'm ready to go. Let me out. Let's go radiate. Let's go out there and do it. I mean, it's kind of like you see here. That sun outside, man, it's great today. Gorgeous day. A month ago, I hated it. It was so bad. But, you know, that's what it is. God is a perfect sunlight. It's perfect weather to where that sun radiates through. And that's what we need to do as Christians. People should be able to look at us and say, look at how they radiate. Look at what comes off of them. How do I radiate my faith? I do it this way. Sharing your testimony. Tell your story about salvation. You have an individual story. Everybody's story of salvation is different. Let people know that you are have serenity in your life. Since I found Jesus, I'm at peace. They don't always act like it. But inside, I'm at peace. Inside, you need to be at peace. Let people know about your strength. Let them people know. Then you may sit there and say, well, God ain't healed me. Are you a Christian? God healed you. God took you away from sin. He got rid of the blemish. He got rid of the problem. You know, we look at so many things we talk about healing, and we look at people that have survived the cancer and know it's not there. The spot's gone, or whatever it is gone. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no more powerful healing than when God gets in that blemish called sin. So God healed you. God helped you. He helped you understand that you, without knowing Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. God helped you with that. God, before you become a Christian, you had hope that there was that, I don't have to go to hell. I have hope in a man named Jesus. So when you think about it, he's given me a lot of strength.
And I'm protected. He is my safety net. And the one thing that we struggle with, that we talk about when we want to radiate our faith, and I talk about sharing our testimony and different stuff. Folks, how we share a testimony is this way right here. What service do you do for God? What service do you do for God? What's in here when you do it? Are you looking for glory? Are you looking for a path to that? Because if I'm serving God, all I want, just like I'll tell you right now, I know Bert, Steve, Cheryl, Pam, I know they've all survived cancer. And I'm thrilled to death for them, I really am. But I'm going to tell you right now, any single one of them would have survived cancer had they been wanting to do it themselves. God is the reason they survived it. Yeah, I would be with others' hope. But I'm going to tell you something. My hope's in a man named Jesus. They didn't do it. They're blessed enough. Their testimony they can talk about. But that's part of sharing their testimony. They got to tell people. But we got to serve God. You got to be. And when you serve God, folks, it's not one of these that you got to go down with your head down and say, why? You got to serve God. Why? Because people are seeing God through you. That's what we do when we serve God. People are seeing God through you. Have a little excitement when you have the privilege to serve God. I can promise you, I'll pick on Rhonda, I'll be with her someone. You know, Rhonda has excitement. Because I promise you, if she's cleaning the church, I guarantee it, there's going to be some excitement as soon as I get through the door. And she has no clue what's coming. Because she'll have a vacuum cleaner going and she won't be able to walk through the door. So I make sure she has her excitement. So if you can have excitement, even doing things you may not think is exciting, you can have excitement doing it. Some of that stuff done, God does that so you know how you can have fun doing it. We can have fun doing it. You know, when you come in here next Saturday and we have the Fall Festival, we want to have excitement about it. We want to be bouncing around. We want to have some life about it. We want to really enjoy what we're doing so people can see. That's serving God. We're serving God there. We're giving people an opportunity to have a safe environment to be at. At the meantime, we want to show we can have fun. That's what we're doing. Showing faith is another way that we can raise our faith. We have to understand, how do I show my faith? Folks, you know this. There are people that are sad. There are people that are depressed, sick, people that are shut in, people that have lost loved ones, all these different things. How do I show that? People that are just what we call weird. How do we do that? Just show up to visit. Make a phone call. Let them know you care. You'd be surprised how far that goes. You'd be surprised how much that means when somebody does that. You know, I was standing there thinking about it the other day, and God rest her soul. I love her to death. She's not with us, but I know her. Used to talk about the story all the time. How they used to when someone would die, they would go make this, and they would go do that, and they would do this. And that's how people not only serve, but that's how they share their faith in church. Now, things have changed. I understand they've changed a lot. But still, go back and think, you know, maybe something like that's what we need to think about doing. Maybe something like that's what we need to, you know, when you got people that are shut in and people that are in the nursing home, I'm not telling you to go every week, but get a deal set up for, okay, this week I go, next week you go, then you go, four, five, six people go. Just take turns going and visiting people. That's how we show our faith. It's going out and saying, this is what we do, folks. We are to lift those people up that need lifting up, the people that they consider a widow and widowers, things like that. We're lifting them up. That's showing your faith, folks. And the thing we have to do is, as bad as it is out there in that world, as bad as it is, you want to show your faith, keep smiling and keep serving God. That's what you do. That's showing your faith. Because no matter what the world throws at me, I've got a God that's sitting on the throne. My God is alive today, and very soon He is coming back. So I have every right to be happy. I have a right to smile. Yes, world ain't perfect. My life's not perfect. But folks, I'm here to tell you, people that are lost have absolutely nothing to smile about. You want to smile and show your faith. Why? So guess what? They will hang out. Then you can explain to them why you're smiling. It is impossible It is impossible to be saved. Now listen to me. I'm going to hit you right between the eyes right now. It's impossible to be saved by grace through faith and not show your testimony. Folks, if you're saved by grace through faith, you want people to know. You want people to know what's going on. You've heard me talk about it. When you're here and you get saved that first time, man, you can't hit that door fast enough to tell everybody in your family. You can't go tell somebody, hey, guess what happened to me? You can't go do this. You know, you go back and look on Facebook and on different stuff where people have got their kids up there that have got saved. They get baptized, and guess what? You never see another picture of the church. Are they still not saved? Do we still not be sure of faith? Think about it. How many of us can stand there and say that? It is impossible. If you're saved by faith, saved by grace through faith, to not tell somebody your story. People say, well, I can't do it. I can't talk to them. Where were you at when you got saved? What were you doing? I ain't telling you what time. I ain't going to tell you you got to give a date. What were you doing? And what changed your life? Here's your testimony. That's how you tell somebody about Jesus. Rejoice in the victory of faith. Folks, that is something we can take a lot of pride in, rejoicing in that victory of faith. 1 John 5:4 says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Our faith, a victory in faith, that overcomes the world. We can rejoice in it. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. The fruit of our lips, give thanks to His name. Nothing we have comes because of us. Nothing we have. You have nothing that God hadn't allowed you to have. You have nothing in your life that God hadn't given you the opportunity to have. So we need to give God the praise off our lips. Rejoicing. Understand. Praise God. Folks, we need to praise God for the fact that we've been delivered. A victory. May not look it. May not think it. But I promise you. It's there. I tell you what else. This time I'm going to go this way. Back over here. And I'll tell you back over here. The other thing that you want to praise God about is the one who provides you victory in Jesus. That's what you want. You're guaranteed victory if you know Jesus Christ. And why am I guaranteed it? Because the man that died on that cross, that went to the grave, and on the third day was not there. And we'll talk, we'll celebrate that here. And the other thing about it is, folks, guess what? The fact that I'm a child of God, the fact that the one that I serve, Jesus Christ, died on that cross, the fact that he went to the grave, and the fact that he was rose on that third day, I can boldly stand up and proclaim that God is coming again and God's going to take His church and I'm going to get victory in a place called heaven, and I can be bold when I say it because the Bible says that's what's going to happen. So I get to not only proclaim victory, but I can proclaim victory boldly, confidently. And the other thing we get into, I mentioned a while ago, folks, is this. Rejoicing is contagious. When you get excited, it's contagious. It inspires faith. It inspires. When you're sharing your story, you don't realize how much it inspires other people. You don't realize how much other people look up. I told you the story that last week about I was totally brain dead about the evangelist. Ken Smith. I told you the story about Ken. Ken's got the same story every time he comes to church. He will tell you the last night that he had revival, you're going to have the same story of his life, and you're going to have a fish fry every time. That's what you're going to do. But I promise you, when he comes in and gives you that story, people in that audience are going to have their lives changed because of his story, because it inspires those people that if he can overcome what he's overcome and he can do what he's done, folks, I'm here to tell you, it can inspire other people. Now, I will promise you, my life was nothing like his growing up. But most everyone in here that's been around very long, they know me growing up, and I feel like I can be some part of an inspiration to people, because I promise you, when I was back in school, you would have thought you'd see me standing here today. I can promise that. But we can be an inspiration. If God can do it for one, He can do it for another. You want a real inspiration? Go back and look at Saul.
and see, go back and read the book of Acts. Get the book of Acts, we're at chapter 9, and look at Saul, and see what about it. You were talking about inspiration. What would happen had Saul not been knocked off that big horse and he went blind? You'd have had half the New Testament would have been written in the Bible. That's an inspiration that God can use you. No matter what we've done in life, God can change us around. God can use us for His glory. The more you share your story, and this is the kicker, folks, you're scared to death to tell people. You're scared to death to talk to people. The more you tell people about Jesus, the stronger your faith becomes. Because you become more confident in God. You become more. I don't think there's anybody here that can stand and say, man, I can't do that. Once you do that, how many times have you ever done that? Man, I can't. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. Because when, of course, this is me. You go in there, get in there and you get shot. People talk about this shot, how bad it is. You may be petrified of demons and they're going to be mad. I'm not petrified of them, so I get shot, they don't bother me. There's only one shot that would ever bother me, and I ain't telling nobody what it is. And it's not what Eddie and Lance carry on their hip. They don't bother me. I mean, but I'm telling you, the more you're around it, the less you realize. If you're petrified of needles and you get a shot every week, therefore after a little bit you get more. Well, it ain't too bad. It ain't too bad. You learn how to adjust. Same way with telling people about Jesus. Once you do it the first time, guess what? You do exactly what happens next. You learn to lean more on God. God's the one that's actually good the first time. You learn that God got me through this. Learn to trust God. Go back, Hebrews 10:23, what we started with. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful, that promise. Folks, think about that. Paul found it out. We're getting ready as we go into next week. Next week's a prize faith. That's what we're talking about. Prize faith. Ask yourself this question right now to get ready to go to the time of invitation. Do you have a pleasing faith for God? The salvation, the surrender. Think of that. What about a perfect or personal faith? If you had these three, I'm going to kind of get out of order a little bit, along with the prize faith that you don't know anything about yet. If you have those, you have a professing faith. You have a faith in profession. When you talk about your faith, my question is this here. Are you holding on to faith without wavering? Are you holding on to it without wavering? That's the question. Are you holding on to that wavering thing? Are you wavering in faith? Folks, it's normal. It's normal to waver. It's normal to have issues. We live in a world, and I'm telling you, Satan is an adversary that is very smart. He's very keen. He knows what he's doing. But the question is, are you wavering or are you not wavering? How strong is your faith? Is it without wavering? Now, with that being said, if your faith, and you're not sure, is my faith wavering? Let me ask you this question. Are you practicing your faith on a regular basis? That's going to tell you if your faith is wavering. That's going to tell you what's going on. Are you practicing that faith? Does your faith have values? Does it have a vision? Does it have virtues? Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, if your faith has value, if your faith has vision, and your faith has virtue, guess what? Your faith is going to have what we call victory. It's going to have victory. It's going to be there. Man, it's there. And, folks, I'm going to tell you, do you want to have victory today? First thing you got to understand, you have to know Jesus Christ, your heart, and soul. Second thing is this right here. If you have what we're talking about, and you have virtues, and you have visions, you have values, victory will be achieved by practicing faith. By practicing faith. Folks, faith was not meant to put on a shelf and collect dust. Faith was meant to go out and tell the world about it. Jesus Christ did not sit at home and be a carpenter. He was a carpenter by trade. How many things have you read in the Bible that Jesus Christ built? How many things did he build? Jesus Christ, I can only think of one thing that ever talks about that he built. And that's called the kingdom of God. He had value in his Father. He had virtues. He had a vision of what was going to happen, and he knew what it took to achieve victory. And that was dying on the cross. Folks, I'm going to give you one promise today. You can take this to me. You can count on this. Why can I say that? Because it's biblical. We just talked about it. If you hold fast to your profession of faith without wavering, Jesus Christ will be there. You can take that away. If you waver, what happens? We let the world, we let the devil be. Now be blessed. I'm not going to leave you with that. You can take a lot of pride, whatever you want to call it. Satisfaction. You can do things. You can take a lot of rest in knowing this. If you're wavering and you're having problems, I know a guy that says, if you'll repent, I'll forgive you. I'll make your faith unwavering. So think about that if we have a time limitation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is your time to talk to God a little bit. This, we're talking about practicing faith. Are you practicing that faith? Do you have what is necessary to practice that faith? Do you have it today?